Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
There's a brewery in Columbus by the name of, I'm going to write this down, have you pronounce it, that is named?
Hoofhearted?
Say it again.
Hoofhearted.
Hoofhearted? Hoofhearted Brewing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's in Columbus.
That is awesome. Hoofhearted.
Yeah.
I'm so easily entertained. I'm going to use that one with friends.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
All right, we're going to get to a call. I actually got a stat to bring up about the NFL playoffs and the expanded playoffs, which we'll get to in a second, too. 803-0550 to join us. Rumor has it there's a guest the prospect coming up, so don't go anywhere. 888-550-2550. This is worth being late to work. Spencer,
what's that? The guest prospect.
Yeah, you just go to the office 5 minutes later. Spencer in Buffalo, thanks for holding on. You're on WGR. Go right ahead.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Love the show.
Thank you for listening.
Hey, so I kind of got two things. First thing, Skinner and Rhino. Why don't we put them together? I mean, Eichel's so good, like you guys said earlier in the show. He lists up everybody's game, who's ever on his line. Why don't we do that for the end of the season? And that kind of brings me into my second part, which is Rhino. He's got a contract here, this year, you know, whatever. And we actually see how he is without any elite player with him. I mean, don't get me wrong, Skinner's an elite goal scorer. But I'm saying an elite player. You know, let's not try to put ourselves back into the Billy Leno, Matt Bolson way, where we're overpaying players that, you know, really can't do their own thing. I'll hang up.
Yeah, I'll let Jeremy, this is what you've been talking about, the valuation or trying to evaluate Reinhardt and his worth since he's going into his RFA contract.
Yeah, I don't know what he's going to get. I think it's really hard to forecast what he's going to get. And I predict that if they sign him, I predict he's a controversial signing. You know, there are a lot of fancy stats that say he's very, very, very good.
Yeah.
I support those. I think he's a good player. But I'd be lying if I don't say I think everyone gets inflated next to Jack Eichel. That's just the way that it works. And, you know, if you get to this point in a season, I would take him off that line. And I would say, let's see if you and Skinner and Larson can do something together. Mm-hmm. You know, two good guys on the wing. Larson is serviceable. Larson and Skinner did well together. I just don't know. When it comes to asset management, that's the whole job of the GM. And there's not a lot of proof that they're good at it.
But also, you brought this up, one of the questions you brought up when Ralph Kruger was on with us. It also is, we're getting now also into the relationship between the GM and the coach. And does the GM, when, you know, Ralph Kruger said the coaches get to the arena like hours before practice. And this is some of the stuff they're talking about. Evaluating players, line combinations, performances of players, all this stuff is discussed. Does the GM go to the coach and say, listen, Reinhardt's going into a contract in the offseason. I need you to break up Reinhardt and Eichel because I need to see what Sam Reinhardt's true value is to this hockey team. Like, I don't even know if he does that. And if he does that, does the coach respond to the GM the way he responded to us and said, why would I want to break up these two guys? I've got a really good combination. You know, Ralph Kruger said, what, he thinks this is one of the top five lines with Reinhardt, Eichel, and Olofsson in the entire league. That's what I would wonder about. What's the dynamic between the GM and the coach when it comes to line combinations? And does the GM have the same thought we are? Is he sitting there in the press box watching games going, maybe we should give Skinner a shot up there. Or maybe we should move Reinhardt down here. Or maybe we should put Skinner with Reinhardt and Larson, whatever.
Right. And all of this, they need better players. They just need more good players.
Well, that is kind of the answer.
They need Ryan O'Reilly is what they need. Yeah. Quick football thing.
Or Casey Mittelstadt to be much better and back.
I want to get to the football thing. Ben Volen was pointing.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to
See this tweet from Mike Clay?
I had the Volen tweet I was going to bring up was about the records of the seven seeds.
You do Volen, and I'll bring up Mike Clay's quote tweet of that, because there's a lot of good stuff in there.
So, Ben Volen from the Boston Globe, we were talking about the playoffs and the idea of expanding, adding a seventh team in each conference, and whether that would water down the product or lead to losing teams in the playoffs. Ben Volen tweeted, in the last 10 years, okay, so 2010 through 2019, 14 of the 20 teams to finish seventh had at least 9 wins. There was no losing record in the bunch. The number 7 seed for the decade just passed is 8-8 5 times. One team went 8-7-1. 8 teams were 9-7. There was a 9-6-1. 5 teams were 10-6. Those are the 7 seeds. So nobody with a losing record would have made the playoffs.
Here's the follow-up point from Mike Clay. I like this, and I'm sad that we didn't think of it. That by adding another playoff team, the NFL is not adding another bad division winner. They're adding the team that we usually whine about should be in over the division winner. Right? There's like, think of the NFC this year.
Right.
Who was it that missed out that had a better record than Philadelphia?
Boy, did the Rams maybe? Let me pull up the NFL standings.
But that's what you get. This is kind of like the NCAA tournament giving one more at-large berth to the stud conference as opposed to another
a weak division.
Mountain West champion. Right. Sorry about the Mountain West.
Hey, Mountain West
I was trying to think of a more obscure one.
On the Mountain West. But the West Coast Conference.
But that's a good point. That often the worst team to make the playoffs is a bad division winner. So it's another team that gets in. Okay, Philly.
Rams had the same record as Philly. They were both 9-7.
Okay,
but Philly was a division winner.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I like the stat to back that up. It's the same thing. Look, when Major League Baseball came out, I don't have the stat in front of me, but Major League Baseball, the story came out last week. They were thinking about expanding their playoffs and adding, another, what was it? It'd be 7 teams, adding a couple more wild cards. And immediately my thought was, are we going to have a team with like 79 and 83 record going into the postseason? And in the previous like 8 or 9 years, I think one team might have had a losing record. It's not as bad as you might think. So I'm glad. I like the tweet from Ben Volen because it answered the question of, hey, fellas, is a 7-9 team going to be getting the 7th seed? No. The answer is there's usually a team with a winning record. And as this stat will show you, multiple teams with a winning record that lose out because of a tiebreaker. So you're not putting necessarily you wouldn't put a losing team in. You're putting a team in that had a 7-5 AFC record and lost out on that tiebreaker. Or you're putting a team in that was 9-7 but lost a head-to-head matchup with the other 9-7 team that just got into the postseason. So it's a good idea. I mean, I'm usually for expanding the playoffs. I like maybe more meaningful games. I love more playoff games. I don't think it'll water down the field, and it's nice to see the statistical backup of the decade saying there was no losing team that would have been in the postseason. So that's good. I'm all for that. And, so the Rams, I don't know what the tiebreakers would have been. Well, the Rams would have made the playoffs, actually. So as a 7 seed, last year the Rams at 9-7 would have been in, and the 7 seed in the AFC would Pittsburgh. Have been Pittsburgh at 8-8. So they would have been in the playoffs, too. It's not a bad thing for the National Football League. It's a good thing. It's not just
also,
a money grab. I think it's good for the fans.
More teams stay alive for longer.
Yeah.
And, now you have a division where if it's really strong, you can get 3 in from the same division.
Again, the Rams. The Rams are 9-7. Now, they lose out because Minnesota would have had more wins and Seattle would have had more wins. But the Rams were in a division with San Francisco, who had 13 wins, and Seattle, who had 11 wins. So they end up 9-7, and they lose out on a playoff spot. If there's another spot in, guess what? Now they're in. And, the Rams fans are feeling better about their season. 1 year removed from the Super Bowl, they're not missing the playoffs. They still probably don't make a run. It's rare that 6 seeds do make that run.
They would have played Green Bay.
They would have played at Green Bay. And if they got through that, whatever. But they would have had to go to Green Bay, and I don't know that they would have won in Green Bay.
There's also the possibility here for the 2 seed to host 3 playoff games.
Wild card, divisional, right, and then possibly the conference championship game if someone beats the 1. Yeah, yeah. That's more money, too.
The 3 seed could also host 3 playoff games.
2, 3, and 4 are home.
No, they'd have to go on the road in the second one. Sorry. You're right.
Not necessarily. The 2 seed loses, the 3 seed now becomes the second highest seed in that conference and gets another home game.
That's right.
Yeah, so they could. which I'm sure owners would be delighted to have that ability. Hey, one name to bring out real quick on free agency. You know, we were talking about Stephon Diggs earlier and, you know, the rumors about whether or not he would even be available for trade for Minnesota. And, Jeremy, you pointed out the Vikings are having cap issues. They're really tight. This is from, I don't know who Courtney Cronin is, but Matt Perino, who I follow, who covers the Bills, retweeted this. Vikings defense undergoing a transformation. Everson Griffin opted to void the remainder of his contract the next 3 years. Per a source, that creates significant cap space for Minnesota, but it also means there's another edge rusher option that will probably hit the open market, Everson Griffin. By the way, did you see Pro Football Focus? They did a piece on fits for free agents, like projecting free agents and where they would go, where they should go, and all that stuff. And they have Yannick Ngakoue, their projection is, should go to the Bills.
I've seen him a few places.
4 years, $19 million per, and how he would add to the pass rush. The Jaguars are over the cap right now, so they'd have to make a whole bunch of moves just to create space to keep him. Mm-hmm. So if he hits the market, that's PFF says, hey, go get Yannick Ngakoue, and that will bolster your edge rushing abilities with a 4-year contract for him. So we'll see. We'll see if that's where the Bills spend big money, because it doesn't sound like they would spend it on a wide receiver. And I don't think they would spend it on an offensive lineman. And I don't think they would spend it on a corner.
This might be a situation where you say, we're not going to spend a lot of money on a wide receiver when no wide receiver necessarily wants to take their money.
Right.
I mean, it's Amari Cooper and A.J. Green, Robbie Anderson.
And Breshad Perriman. I mean, it's a really small group. It's a tiny Emmanuel Sanders. I mean, it's not a long list of free agent possibilities when it comes to wide receivers. So maybe the Bills, if the Bills hand out a big contract, that's where it is. You know, maybe they look at it and go, if they can't keep Jordan Phillips and they lose his inside pass rush, Lorenzo Alexander retired. That's a guy who, you know, in nickel and pass rushing situations could have played inside and helped out your pass rush. Maybe if you don't have those guys back, you take your big free agent contract in the offseason and put it on a defensive end, a guy like Yannick Ngakoue. So we shall see. 803-0550 to join us. 888-552-550. Okay, this is worth it. If you're being late for work for this, believe me, it's worth it. It's always good to be late for work anyway. Fashionably late for work. Unless you have a radio show and it has to be on at 6 o'clock in the morning, then you shouldn't be late for work.
It's been a while since we've last done Against the Prospects, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Weeks.
I've been going through withdrawal symptoms.
Well, Jeremy obviously wasn't here, so that didn't help much, but let's get to it. Here's your first clue, guys, for this edition of Guess the Prospect. I was a three-sport athlete in football, basketball, and track in high school, but was primarily a standout on the gridiron.
Fast and tall.
Three-sport
basketball,
athlete.
Basketball, you'd think.
Okay. Oh, well, basketball, yeah, okay. Could be a point guard.
Yeah, you're still going to be like six foot.
6 foot point guard, yeah. Okay, so go ahead, three-sport athlete.
I finished my high school career with 241 receptions for 3,900 yards and 50 touchdowns, while also rushing for 875 yards and 14 touchdowns. Hmm. At the 2011 Under Armour All-America game, I caught a record 8 receptions for 70 yards and a touchdown. Going into college, I was regarded as a 5-star recruit, according to Rivals.com, and was ranked as the nation's 4th best receiver. I played right away as a true freshman at college, but didn't really get any action in the offense until my sophomore year, where I caught 56 passes for 573 yards and 5 touchdowns. My numbers doubled in my junior year at school, with nearly 1,200 yards receiving and 10 touchdowns on 77 receptions, while averaging 15.5 yards per reception. That earned me a second-team all-conference selection, and I decided to forego my senior season and enter the NFL draft.
I feel like you should tell us the conference. I mean, it's a 2014 receiver is all I know.
Oh, I didn't even catch that part.
Well, 2011 Under Armour.
Okay, I didn't
catch that. So it's a 2014 second-team all-conference receiver.
2014.
A lot of conferences.
You weren't supposed to get that year of the Under Armour thing. I forgot to.
Oops.
I mean, you got to give us something to go on. Otherwise, yeah, it's just a tall receiver who is fast.
Second-team. 2014. Tallish. Who's the guy I always guess? Is it Troy Williamson? Is that my standard guess? So, Troy Williamson.
Go on to clue number two. I just got nothing here other than it was 2014.
Scouts liked that I had good balance and body control, also being a savvy route runner. I was confident with my hands as a catcher, and I could attack throws and win those 50-50 balls, while also making some spectacular acrobatic catches. However, scouts were worried that I had a fairly lean frame. They wanted me to bulk up and get stronger, and they also thought that I lacked elite explosiveness and top-end speed. I ended up going off the board as the second-to-last pick in the second round of the draft as the 12th receiver off the board.
12th receiver in 2014, second-to-last.
Right. Okay, is 2014 like the James Hardy year? Or
what's... No, he would have been before that, wouldn't
he? Yeah, like 2010?
Yeah.
14 receivers in 2014.
5 years ago.
Who's in the 2014 NFL draft?
It was 14 guys in the first two rounds went?
That's the Sammy draft.
Okay. So,
Sammy, back end Beckham, of round two.
Who's the guy from Pittsburgh? Was Bryant in that class?
Martavis Bryant is in that class.
He would have been in round two, right?
Yeah, Brandon Cooks is in that class.
Martavis Bryant. Back end of round two.
I feel like we already did Brandon Cooks, didn't we?
That we did, yes.
Whatchamacallit. The guy was here. Matthews? No, he wouldn't have been.
Jordan Matthews?
He was in that class, right? But would he have been at the back end of round two? I'm going to save that guess. Go ahead. You're up there, dude.
Yeah, I don't know. Jordan Matthews.
Back end, 2014. Second to last guy. Go ahead. I don't have anything.
All right, I'll start off with clue number three. Hmm. In my 6 years in the NFL, I've been named to the Pro Bowl 5 of those years. I had a solid 4 seasons in South Florida where I caught 400 passes for more than 4,000 yards and 22 touchdowns.
Hang on.
4 years with the Dolphins. Who just went to Houston? Who's the guy who went from Miami?
Kenny Stills?
Yeah, who else? I'm trying to think. Who else?
Jarvis Landry?
No, he wouldn't have been at the back end of round two, though, right? The second to last guy in round two?
I don't know.
Went higher than that, I thought.
I don't know.
Maybe not. It's got to be one of those guys, right? Go ahead. Guess Jarvis
Kenny
Landry.
Kenny Stills.
Okay. Go ahead. Give me a guess, Jarvis Landry.
Why are you telling me to guess him so I can get him wrong?
Because I got Kenny Stills wrong.
Jarvis Landry
is your guess. I want you to get credit. See, that's why I let you guess, because you probably got it right. I want you to get credit. I didn't want to cherry pick on your right answer. I didn't think he was... I thought he was a little higher in the draft that year.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah. It is surprising that he did fall that far down, but, I mean, it was a stacked receiver class.
So they had, what was the tweet I saw yesterday? I guess Mel Kiper did a conference call. He said something like he could see like 25 or 30 receivers go in the first 2 days of the draft.
Wow. That's bad news for the receivers in the league.
Right? And somebody did like a historical perspective and said, like, there's never been more than like, that would be like twice the normal number of receivers that go. Maybe it was even the first. That couldn't have been the first two rounds. First 2 days, 25 to 30 receivers. Normally, it's about half that. 12 to maybe 15 guys go in the first three rounds of the draft. So we could see double that with the depth of this class. And who knows? Maybe the Bills hold off and wait and address a receiver in round three of the draft if they don't do it in the first two rounds.
There's a guy from South Carolina, Bryan Edwards.
Yes.
So Chris Trapasso talking about him.
He said to keep an eye out for him.
Yeah, Chris Trapasso is very high on Bryan Edwards.
When you were out, we had Chris come in studio one day, and I don't know if I said, I don't know if I actually termed it sleeper or maybe a guy that, you know, we're not hearing a lot about. Who would you like in terms of a fit for the Bills? And he mentioned the kid from South Carolina, that he thinks that's going to be a name that you're going to hear a little bit more of, and he's rising up the charts, that type of thing. So we're making our way through the receiver prospects, getting people on the show to talk about them. He's on the list of guys to get to. Tomorrow, I'm going to spend some time reading up today on Brandon Ayuk, the kid from Arizona State. We're going to have somebody on tomorrow who covered Arizona State and can talk a little bit more about Brandon Ayuk, and we'll see where we go with that. So we shall see. I'm trying to think. There was one other thing I was going to bring up from football, and now I can't remember. That doesn't matter.
You forgot?
It was something about the quarterback carousel and who's going where and all that stuff with Breeze being back in New Orleans, and I think people thinking Brady's going to stay in New England, and I was thinking maybe this whole quarterback carousel thing isn't going to play out as crazy as we thought it was.
Yeah.
You know?
Be overblown.
Yeah, and that there won't be as much movement as people thought.
Here's a question for you.
Like maybe Dalton stays. They don't trade Dalton, and what if Carolina just doesn't trade Cam Newton and people just kind of stay where they are for the most part?
I've got an email here from Mark, who was suggesting a show topic for us. We've got a few minutes here to kick this around. Could be a bigger topic, maybe down the line. But He said he was watching the NFL Network. They're talking about the Bills. And one of the guys, he says, I don't remember, maybe J.D. Drew, said the Bills have a roster to win now with a quarterback that's not ready to win yet. Mm-hmm. What if the Bills signed one of the big-name quarterbacks that could be out there? Brady, Breeze, Rivers. Not going to be Breeze.
Right.
It'd be shocking, right? Could you imagine? I think the Bills would be talked about as a certain playoff team. Could be comparable to when Peyton Manning went to Denver. Again, just a suggestion. Hmm. What if, is there any scenario of these quarterbacks that are left out there? Brady, Rivers, Tannehill,
You're talking about guys that are even under contract.
Bridgewater.
Not unrestricted guys.
I'm talking about the guys that are available.
Unrestricted. Okay.
Unrestricted guys. And, you know, Brandon Bean fields a phone call.
No one Mariota, by the way.
Ring, ring, ring. Hello. Yeah, Brandon, it's so-and-so. The agent for Philip Rivers, Tom Brady.
You're asking me who I'd want?
Teddy Bridgewater.
Who I'm hoping is calling me?
And my guy thinks you got a Super Bowl team if he's under center.
Yeah.
Are there any players on that list, any quarterbacks on that list, where you think the Bills would do a, hold on now, what are you saying here? You know, like the lean into the conference. What? Mr. Tom Brady thinks that we can, what now? Or would it just be, thanks, we're good?
Man. I don't have an answer for you. I don't think it would be just a blanket, thanks, we're good. You'd at least, Brandon Bean would at least, let me get back to you and go sit and talk to Sean McDermott and kick this thing around.
And say,
if it's Brady.
If it's Philip Rivers. If it's Brady.
I think it's less so with Rivers.
Yeah.
I really do.
Only Brady?
It's a short list. He might be the only guy on it. I would be willing to consider Bridgewater. But again, it's, I think, let me get back to you for sure.
Consider Bridgewater.
Is Brady is the only guy that let me get back to you. I'd want to think about Bridgewater a little bit more before I give you an educated answer. Brady is, it's not Tannehill. It's not Rivers. It's not, it's certainly not Mariota. Who else? I'm trying to think of some of the other UFAs that are going to be out there.
Winston.
Newton's under contract.
Is Jameis Winston going to be out there?
It's not Winston. He is, right? But it's not him. Carr's under contract. Dalton's under contract. Stafford's under contract. Yeah, it's probably only one guy. It's not Fitz.
No, not
it's,
Fitz.
It's probably only one guy where I would actually say, let me get back to you. And that's the only guy, Brady.
All right.
You'd have to have that discussion. You'd absolutely have to think about that and go, really? Brady wants to come here for a year. Huh.
Yeah. These are all very far-fetched.
Like, I don't think the Bills would actually do it.
No.
But in terms of at least not hanging up and going, we're good, thanks, we got our guy, Brady is worth that discussion. Honorable mention Bridgewater. But I don't even think he's not in the same category as Brady, obviously. There's nobody else on that list that I really... I know Tannehill had a great year. I'm not a huge fan. I don't know that I ever will be. And there's really nobody, unless we're forgetting one of the free agent guys. You know, Rivers' numbers were really bad last year, you know, and he cost them games. And I think that'd be a bad idea too. So I can't tell you that there's really anybody else on that list. What about you?
No, I mean, for what they would consider, I don't even think they would. I think they're pretty confident, comfortable where they are. I don't think they consider any of these guys.
So Brady's, even if Brady's agent says, my guy would like to talk to you. Nope, no thanks. We're not taking the meeting.
I think they're saying no thanks.
Okay. I would talk about that one. I don't think you would just say no.
I think it's a good case for Bridgewater, objectively.
Yeah.
But they're not going to do that. That if you were like really saying, let's try to win the Super Bowl right away. You know, right.
You'd be putting Josh Allen's career on hold for a year.
Yeah,
basically.
And I don't think there's reason to do that, and I don't think they would. So, thank you for the email, Mark.
Brady. Be funny, huh? Right? Like, supposedly the story is, if they don't agree to a contract, that Brady's people would call teams and set up meetings, make a pitch to us.
I got to be honest. The Brady, where's Brady going to go story, I find it, it's just so annoying, because he's just going to go back to New England.
Probably.
This is like when Russell Wilson pretended he was going to go play baseball. That's how I feel about it.
Yeah.
If you're going to go somewhere else, do it. Say it. Let's go. But I just don't think he will.
I think he'll probably stay in New England, but I do find the discussion interesting. I do find the speculation and the stories. What was it? Larry Fitzgerald's dad the other day tweeted out something about how he thinks he's heard the Raiders are going to go 2 years and $60 million and offer a contract to Brady. I do find this, more than anybody else, captivating, the Brady story and what's going on in New England. But yeah, when all is said and done, he will. I think it does make best sense for him to stay where he is and have New England go out and get, you know, maybe they go get Hunter Henry or Austin Hooper, right? One of the two big name tight ends out there. We were talking earlier, you know, if Diggs ever was on the open market, would New England try and trade for him? I'm sure they're going to look for a top tight end and another wide receiving target for Tom Brady, and it would probably make the best sense to stay right there, get better weapons, and do your best trying to win a Super Bowl in New England again with what will still be a good defense, even if they lose a couple of their key free agents, Kyle Van Noy included. 803-0550 to join us, 888-552-550. When we get back, a little tournament talk. It is that time of the year where you hear bubble teams as we get closer and closer to the NCAA tournament. Joe Lenardi, bracketology expert from ESPN.com, is going to join us in a moment on WGR.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
It's a great music bed. It really is. One of the top sports theme music beds. So believe it or not, Selection Sunday is 3 weeks from this Sunday. So you're hearing more about bubble teams. We're talking about tournament and getting ready for all the fun of March Madness. So it's bracketology time, and that means it's Joe Lenardi, the ESPN.com bracketology expert, who is joining us right now on our Westar Hotline. Joe, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning. Welcome, sir. Thanks for coming on with us today.
Good morning. This is 2 days in a row now in the great city of Buffalo.
Well, that's a good thing. I actually, it's funny, Joe, this might actually freak you out, but I don't mean to, but I was thinking about you over the weekend thinking this time of year, you must have no life. Like you are probably just, you know, hey, friends and family, catch me again in, May. I'm going to be busy watching basketball.
Well, I have this like semi-annual tradition, a buddy Super Bowl party in the neighborhood, and you know, who doesn't go to a Super Bowl party, right?
Yep.
And I usually leave that and say, I'll see you in about 6 weeks.
Hey, at least you went. I thought you were going to tell me you blew off the Super Bowl party because you had to watch college basketball.
The handful of people, who I'm closest to, even they don't see me all that much.
Hmm.
And I think for them it's a vacation. So maybe it works all the way around. But I have to give a shout out to my friends at Bishop Tyman, and the great Ron Berdovich had me speak to his high school class. Oh,
very nice, cool.
So we were debating, you know, the size of the class versus the size of the audience here, and we got to blow them away.
Yeah. No, yeah, we will. Don't worry about it. So listen, 3 weeks out on Sunday from Selection Sunday, Joe, when you look at the big picture, I mean, are things pretty much coming together? How much are you still you're like not really sure about 3 weeks out in terms of who's actually going to make the field?
I think the top of the board has been unusually stable for an unusually long period of time. I thought I saw something on the air on a graphic last night in passing that, you know, the four projected number one seeds, you know, since January 1st are like 52-1 or something like that. And the only loss is when Kansas and Baylor played each other. So that's unusual. But, you know, at the other end of the board, the bubble, quote-unquote bubble, you know, last night a dozen of the teams, I call it the 16-team window, you know, the eight that are on the good side and the eight that are on the not good side, 12 of them were playing, and it was a train wreck of losing and winning unexpectedly. And we haven't had a day like that, but here it was, and I'm wondering if maybe that's the beginning of, you know, the crazy that we've been expecting all season long after the way it started with all those different teams ranked number one and, yep, you know, this is a wide-open deal and the tournament's going to be amazing and blah, 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 blah. And all of that maybe is starting to come true.
Let me. I did want to ask you about a couple of teams of interest here with our listeners here in Western New York. One of them would be Syracuse. Now, it's a two-parter, Joe, I guess. One, Syracuse's chances. Two, can you put – you have four ACC teams in your latest bracketology. Can you put into perspective what kind of a down year that means for the ACC?
Twice in my era, the ACC's gotten three as a point of comparison. But, and this is a huge but, it was a 19 league at that time. Now it's a 15-team league. So, you know, the stretches of January and into February where we were showing three or four ACC teams in the field is pretty extraordinary. And even with NC State's win last night, which at least for the moment has me slotting them at number 68 and a 15 from the ACC in the field, you know, 5 out of 15 is no different than 3 out of 9 back in the day. And that was considered to be a disaster. So, you know, it's certainly been an off year for the ACC. And, you know, it hasn't been a great year for Syracuse either. And it certainly didn't go in a better direction last night at Louisville. You know, the Orange had to have one of those two road games at Florida State or Louisville just to maybe get in the back end of the conversation. And, you know, it didn't happen, and it didn't happen for the most obvious of reasons, and that's they're not good enough. And I don't say that in a, you know, in a happy or a judgmental way. Like, at some point, you get to a stage of the season, and, you know, we're in you know, crunch time here. You get to a stage of the season where you know what you have or what you don't, and I think Jim Boeheim knows that he doesn't have an NCAA tournament team. Yep. They're going to scratch and claw and try and get hot late and have a deep run in Greensboro. And that's all you can think about if you're on the inside. But from the outside, you know, you have to go with the evidence. And the evidence over 25-plus games now is they're not an NCAA team.
The other team is Bona. I mean, the Atlantic 10 does usually get at least one at-large bid. Short of winning the tournament, running through and winning the tournament, is there what kind of a shot, any shot for Bona to get in?
I don't think they can get in at-large. And you know, any chance to be in that conversation, you know, probably died last Friday night at home when they kind of came in and got blasted by Davidson. I had seen Bona earlier that week at St. Joe's and was talking to Mark Schmidt at length and kind of
remarking in a remarkable way about how consistently good they are in the Atlantic 10,
yep.
even in quote-unquote rebuilding years. I mean, you know, they're very much in the hunt for the top four and double bye, and they're going to get double-digit wins again in the A-10. They've got the longest streak of that going in the league. And if you think about where the Bonnies are kind of positioned in the college basketball landscape, as well as on a map, right, you'd say, you know, well, that would be VCU, it would be Dayton, it would be Rhode Island, it would be somebody else. But the most consistent program in the league for a decade now has been St. Bonaventure. And I think it starts and ends with Mark Schmidt.
The other conference I want to ask you about, Joe, is the Big Ten. You've got 10 of the teams going in your latest bracketology. How confident are you? That's a large number, even for a, what are they, 14-team league, whatever they are these days. That's a pretty big number.
At one point it was 12
Wow.
that were getting in. Now, inevitably, when you're that bloated, my word, right. When you have that, when you're going that deep in your league, it's almost unsustainable because, you know, those teams are playing each other, right?
Yeah.
So it's not just the good teams at the top that eat each other, you know, out of the tournament.
Sure.
But it at the bottom, you know, you're getting well under 500 in the league because. You know, if you look at the standings in any sport of any league, right, you know, the teams in the middle are around 500 and the teams at the bottom are well below it. And, you know, it's just hard to sustain a resume that's worthy when you're doing what Minnesota is doing, right? Like Minnesota 2 weeks ago was in the field. Now they're 12-13 overall. And, you know, I don't care how hard your league is. They're not going to give an at-large bid to a sub-500 team.
Right.
Like, they wouldn't put the Lakers in at sub-500. So, you know, that number has gone from 12 to 11 to 10 and could go down still maybe even one more under the right or, should I say, wrong circumstances.
You can read Joe's work, of course, at ESPN.com, the bracketology, and keep track of everything as we get closer and closer. Bama, by the way, Nate Oates fans, is one of the teams that's on that bubble. Joe, thanks. Thanks for coming on with us this morning. Appreciate you giving us some time, and good luck with the rest of your bracketology work.
I hope everybody in the area doesn't mind. I'm going to take tomorrow off from Buffalo.
A one-day break from us is never a bad thing, Joe. Don't worry about it. We won't take it personal.
Well, how many weeks do I have to wait before I'd even want to come?
Oh, you kidding me? This has been like the most gorgeous winter ever. No snow, good temps. You're good. You come in. You'd enjoy winter here. It's been a piece
of
cake.
So when the blizzard comes next week, it's your fault.
I know it is. My colleagues always blame me for stuff like that. So I'll just keep my trap shut.
All right, I'll keep my golf clubs handy.
Thanks, Joe. Have a nice day.
Later.
Joe Lunardi with us here on our Western Hotline. We've got a little tournament talking. Yeah, Bama lost last night. That was a tough one for them. They are firmly on the bubble in terms of their chances to make the NCAA tournament. Hey, we announced a couple of celebs joining the roast for Eric Wood. Maybe you missed it earlier this morning. Guess what? Brian Gianta is going to be there. And Pat Coletta will be there, too. And they'll be joining Harrison Phillips among the celebrities at the roast. Not roasting, but celebrities on hand that you can meet and hang out with. A week from tonight at Buffalo River Works. That's when we will be roasting Eric Wood. You can get your tickets right now at WGR550.com. General admission tickets are available. We still have Pella VIP tickets available. That will allow you access to meet the roasters and Eric and the celebs on hand and GR folks before the dinner begins. So go to WGR550.com and get your tickets. The Celebrity Roast of Eric Wood is presented by Liberty Cab. Seneca Poker inside the Seneca Niagara Casino and by Pella Windows and Doors with support from Bud Light. Country Suite, it's all about the sauce. Dr. Byers, Buffalo Optical and Value Vision, today's hottest eyewear at the best value by Vera's Dry Cleaning and also by Rachel's Mediterranean Grill.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
Hit you with some trade rumors real quick before we go. From thefourthperiod.com, the Devils still looking to make more moves. You had a stat yesterday about Tom Fitzgerald, and he's been pretty active since taking over as New Jersey GM. Not sure which player is on the move next, but again, according to Fourth Period, the team is having talks with other clubs about Wayne Simmonds, Kyle Palmieri, Miles Wood, and defenseman Sammy Vatanen.
Who's talking to them?
Let's see.
Other clubs?
Other clubs, not including Buffalo. Yes, several teams have expressed interest in Simmonds, Vancouver, Calgary, Boston. Vatanen has been linked to Vegas, Toronto, Florida, and Carolina, among other teams.
All right.
What else?
Happy birthday. I got a happy birthday.
Oh, real quick, just Ilya Kovalchuk. Montreal apparently is looking for a first-round pick or a second-round pick and another asset.
L-O-L.
Hey, man, I'm just reporting what Fourth Period is reporting.
Get out of here with a first-round draft
pick. For Kovalchuk. And if they don't get that, supposedly they would hang on to him and then talk about a one-year extension after the season and keep him in Montreal for another year.
All right.
Your trade deadline coverage brought to you by Al Ross, Buffalo's first choice for screen-printed T-shirts, and Taco Bell, sometime you gotta live Moss.
Happy birthday,
thanks.
Fred Jackson.
Oh, how old is he today?
I don't know. I didn't check that part.
Okay. Brayton, you seem to memorize birthdays for everybody. Nope, he doesn't have it. Okay.
Fred Jackson, he is 39 today.
Oh, he's a youngin.
Yeah.
Okay.
His birthday bros include...
What's today?
Justin Verlander, Trevor Noah.
Kurt Cobain.
Levon Hernandez.
Okay.
2 minute warning. Cindy Crawford, Rihanna, Charles Barkley.
It's a pretty good day.
Here's one for you. Here's a good. This is the best name of the bunch. You won't know who it is, but in terms of names, Ciro Immobile. It's his birthday today.
Don't know who that is.
What is a Ciro Immobile?
According to Wikipedia, I mean, I know who he is.
Oh.
He's an Italian footballer.
Soccer player, gotcha.
Yeah, okay. Ciro Immobile. Ansel Adams, happy birthday, Ansel Adams.
Don't even know who that is.
All the black and white pictures of like mountains and stuff. Tom Waddle.
Just shook his head.
Here's a good one. Blast from the past. Nicholas Vallin. Remember him?
Oh. What
Nicholas
team?
Vallin.
Carolina, San Jose.
Carolina, okay.
Carolina, Nicholas Vallin.
Overtime guru. He scored a lot in overtime.
Last minute of play in the
playoffs.
Did he score an overtime winner against the Sabres?
Wow. Hold on.
Nicholas Vallin. Who could forget?
Oh, Tom Waddle, right. Football player. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bears, right? Former Bear, I think.
Regular season and playoffs. In the playoffs in 2005-06, he had 1 goal and 4 assists in 25 playoff games.
Well, I don't remember the 05-06 playoffs.
Yeah, right. Me neither.
I don't recall what happened. I think they were eliminated in the first round that year, weren't they? Kevin Adams, if you're listening, give back the ring.
Vallin scored in the playoffs. Playoff scoring hero, as you mentioned, Brayton. He scored a playoff goal against the Leafs.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, happy birthday to everybody.
May of 2002.
Okay.
It appears.
All right. Instigators coming up next. Enjoy your day, everybody. We're back tomorrow morning at 6.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.